KIOS-FM presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, September 18, 2003, for broadcast at this time. Today's topic will be restaurants, cafes, pubs. The speakers will be restaurant reviewers John Keenan of the Omaha World Herald and Jeff Korbelick of the Lincoln Journal-Star. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Dale Munson.
Welcome to our Omaha Press Club's monthly forum. I'm Dale Munson, a member of the OPC Education Committee. It's been a frequent observation of many that Omaha is one of the truly great communities for eating out. Restaurants, cafes, pubs, cafeterias, greasy spoons of nearly every type imaginable, located, to quote the Yellow Book TV ad, all over town. Incidentally, the current Yellow Book has 10 pages of restaurant listings, plus another 22 pages of individual restaurant ads. And if Omaha is an eating-out town, can Lincoln be far behind? We think not. The Lincoln phone book contains 23 pages of restaurant listings and ads. So, what kind of a job is it to be a reviewer of these commercial purveyors of fine or not-so-fine food? Fun? Fattening? Adventuresome expense account dining? What criteria is used in critiquing a cafe? Here to share experiences of this tasty task are the restaurant reviewers from Nebraska's two largest daily newspapers. John Keenan of the Omaha World Herald describes himself as a reporter assigned to the beat. In Lincoln, Jeff Korbelick has been covering restaurants for the Lincoln Journal-Star for about 8 years. During the presentations, folks here in our press club audience are encouraged to write out questions for Jeff and John. So now please welcome John Keenan of the Omaha World Herald and Jeff Korbelick of the Lincoln Journal-Star. And Jeff will address our group first.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Korbelick, and I've been working at the Lincoln Journal-Star since about 1996. Prior to that, I was a sports editor at the Grand Island Independent for 8 years, and I catch a lot of flack because people are like, well, does a sports writer know about food? But actually, sports writers know a lot about food because we spend a lot of time in press boxes eating a lot of it, and for free. As a matter of fact, so we get teased a lot about that. I made the switch in 98 from sports over to features. Got a little bit tired of the sports hours. Those of you who have ever been in the business know it's nights and weekends, and so feature side's a little bit better. And I've really enjoyed the transition. Dining is just a part of what I do. My beat also entails performing arts, so I cover the symphony and the theaters in Lincoln. And I'm also the media reporter, so I keep track of the 12 radio stations and two TV stations in the city. But in 1998, the newspaper launched a new entertainment publication called Ground Zero, and it was a tab magazine that featured movies and music, popular music, and dining. And before that, the paper had just pretty much any time a new restaurant opened, they would send out one of the features writers, not anybody in particular, but we had a staff of about 8 to 10 people, and they would just kind of rotate it. But starting in 98, we had a weekly feature on dining. Now, Lincoln's not a very big town. We don't have a new restaurant that's opening every week. So what we had to do was start revisiting some restaurants that we had done in the past. And we started visiting restaurants you wouldn't even think we would visit, like McDonald's, you know, things like that. So, and what we tried to do is, since Lincoln has about anywhere from 2 to 250,000 people, is it's kind of a mom and pop community, and we kind of treat it that way because what I was telling John outside is our dining section is not necessarily a review, but more of feature stories about the restaurants. And we let our readers know who's running the restaurants, their background, and then give readers an idea of what's available at these restaurants. And that's where the eating part comes in, because I'll go to maybe three times, usually a lunch and a dinner, and take what I like to call my companions. I get teased a lot because people will come to me and they want to know how they can become a companion on my list. And I tell them it's a very long list, and bribes are always good. So, for some reason, I have lots of close friends now that I never had before. So, but what we do is I'll take anywhere from one to four people, depending on the situation, and try a variety of entrees at the place. And we usually try the whole gambit from an appetizer to the, you know, salads to main entrees to desserts, you know. And then I'll write about it and just kind of give a flavor for what's there. We don't necessarily do a critical standpoint, because I don't think Lincoln is big enough to do that. We're not New York City. We're not Denver. We're not Minneapolis. We're not Chicago. Lincoln, a lot of the restaurant owners there are folks who have saved their money their entire lives to open a restaurant. And here I am with no really formal training, you know, in culinary things, saying, well, this is terrible, you know. So what I say is, you know, here's what happened to me at the restaurant. Sometimes I will, the most critical aspect probably comes in terms of service, because that's people who, especially at lunchtime, who only have an hour, you know, that's where they need to get in and out. And so I'll make some comments there, but I won't, you know, criticize the food per se. And a good example of this is there's a very fine Indian restaurant that has opened in Lincoln called Sherry Punjab. It's downtown, about 16th and Q Streets, if you want to write that down. But this gentleman, he's in his 40s. He's from India, but he worked at the other Indian restaurant, The Oven. We have four Indian restaurants, and all the three other Indian restaurants that have opened were former employees of the main one, The Oven, which is downtown in the Haymarket. And some of you may be familiar with The Oven because it's been around for a long time and has quite a good reputation. This gentleman started out, he was their bread guy, and then worked his way into the kitchen, and he just every week put a little bit of money away on his paycheck in hopes of opening his own business one day, and finally realized his dream. And I went, and when I went, you know, for the first time, I mean, it's in a strip mall. The furnishings were very meager, but the food was outstanding. And, you know, and I could have been very critical about how the decor was and how the service was, that kind of thing, but that wouldn't have been fair to him. And then after about 6 months after the restaurant had been open, I mean, he caught up where he was able to. The money, he had a little bit more money, so he could spend some money on some of that other stuff. So that's the way we kind of look at the way we do things at the Journal Star. And like I said, I've been doing it for about 5 years. I always I equate a lot of the food to how my mother and my grandmother cooked. So I'm born and raised Nebraskan, so of course I'm a meat and potato guy, you know. And if my mom ever tried to do anything different, my dad just always freaked out all the time. So, because my dad is a true meat and potato guy too. So, the Lincoln dining scene is I'm jealous of the Omaha dining scene, because Lincoln is getting there, but we're still far behind. I did a big story on this in the late 80s and early 90s. The city was kind of overrun by what I call corporate America. And they're still coming. So we have four Applebee's, we have Ruby Tuesdays, we have Chili's, we have, you know, the Famous Dave's now. Places that were not here 15 years ago, and now they're everywhere in Lincoln. So that's, you know, that's probably the backbone of the Lincoln dining scene. The second strongest area is we have a strong ethnic restaurant scene. And I attribute that to the university population, because we have so many students and a lot of professors there. So we have from Mexican to Indian that I'd mentioned before to Thai. We have three or four several good Thai restaurants in the city, and some of the other things. Korean, we have a Korean restaurant downtown. Just which I think adds a little bit to the mix. And then the next thing is kind of sports bars. We're huge on sports bars, which for obvious reasons, there's a sports bar probably about every other block. And they all do very well. And again, sports bars make their money off of wings, burgers, and steaks. So, you know, you're not going to find a lot of variety. But there are a couple of sports bars that have done well. And there's actually one, Brewskis, who now have four locations in Omaha or in Lincoln and opened one in Omaha recently. And these are three guys who started in the business by opening a liquor store and decided they wanted to get into the food industry about 5 or 6 years later and opened the first Brewskis in a little neighborhood, and it took off. And what sets them apart from some of the other sports bars is they hired a chef who has developed some, you know, unique sandwiches. And so you got a turkey and brie as opposed to, you know, a turkey and Swiss, which everybody has. So it's, you know, it's just, they try to do some different things, that kind of thing. So the three big things is corporate America, the ethnic restaurants, and sports bars in Lincoln. And hopefully, I'm hoping that, you know, that, we have a couple of good Italian restaurants, but we don't have a Lo Solo meal, which is, you know, that I've come up. Every once in a while, I come up to Omaha to do a restaurant, and I'm just jealous because there's some very fine places here. We cover southeastern Nebraska, and so I'll try to get out of town and hit some of the restaurants there. There's a very fine place in Beatrice called the Black Crow. And I don't know if you've been there, but the chefs have been trained in Philadelphia and France. So he came here, he had family here, his wife had family here, and that's how he ended up in Nebraska. There's a little place in Murray, Nebraska, which is near Eagle, and it's called Nola's Cafe. And the owner, you find these little stories. The lady who owns it now, her mom owned the bar. She was this rough lady who, it was kind of a biker bar, and it was smoke-filled, served beer. Her daughter left the state and became a food and beverage director for the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C. She also worked in Dallas and several of those places. She came back. She got tired of the big city living, took over her mom's bar, and turned it into this gorgeous little cafe. And she hired a chef from one of the hotels here in Omaha who was from Australia originally, but he was here because he married a woman from Columbus, and he wanted to start a catering business. She wanted to start a restaurant. They got together, and here's this just idyllic little place in Murray, Nebraska, halfway between Lincoln and Omaha, that she can get a wonderful meal, a pumpkin seed-crusted salmon that's to die for. So those are the kinds of things we look for. We try to get outside of town some, and there are those little gems that you don't know about. So I think I have finished my talk. I'm going to let John take over and go from there. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. John Keenan of the Omaha World Herald.
Hi. I actually started reviewing food in 1991, but it was a very brief gig. That was when I was working as an assistant arts writer for a small paper in upstate New York and doing, as I still do, a lot of other art stuff, theater reviews and concert coverage, that sort of thing, not unlike Jeff's job. And what had happened is we had an arts editor who saw all the best movies and went to the best plays, and he was the food reviewer, the restaurant reviewer, and he would, you know, go out to the fine restaurants. But they came up with the idea for a concept called Cheap Eats, where they would give me $25 a week and send me out with a friend to see what I could find. You know, where can I eat for $25 a week, two people? So it was fun, but I got used to eating a lot of chicken wings and fried raviolis, which has probably influenced my reviewing style ever since. I also once ordered something truly spectacularly bad called Bucket O' Spaghetti. And, you know, I guess I came away with that, from that, with the lesson that basically a bucket O' anything probably just as well to stay away from it. You know, so I was doing that for about a year or so. The experiment didn't last too long because, quite frankly, there weren't a lot of places you could go and eat for $25 or under two people. And I just had a variety of jobs, copy editor, police reporter, sports writer for a little bit. And when I originally came to the World Herald, it was as a copy editor. And then I moved into the entertainment department, did a lot of preview stories, kind of the secondary guy, you know, saw the horror movies. But about 3 years ago now, they took our food critic, Jim Delmont. He was the food and theater critic. And they decided they wanted a little more aggressive news coverage of both the restaurant scene and the theater scene, and that it would be hard to do both one person. And that's not only, you know, reviewing, but more news stories and feature stories about those areas. So they basically gave Jim his choice. Did he want to be the theater critic and reporter or the restaurant critic and reporter? And he picked theater. And they offered me the restaurants, primarily because of my reporting experience there. They knew that coming into a new beat, I could pick it up. Like Jeff, I do not have a great deal of culinary training. A lot of what I know today I picked up over the last 3 years from the Food Lover's Companion, from the Internet, and from various sources that I've made in the profession while I've been the food critic. And, of course, Jane Palmer, the World Herald's very talented former food writer. So, what I know about food is what I've learned through my years of eating it. And, especially, Italian food, which is my heritage, and I knew very little about the stuff that I didn't like, which is something that I'm aware of as a food critic and something that I work against, which is why when you read my reviews, you'll often see me trying something like octopus or kangaroo on the off chance that, you know, my feeling is a lot of people see this on the menu and they'll be curious about whether, you know, kangaroo, so you don't get a lot of people trying it. So that's part of what I think I'm there for, is to let people know about different foods that they might not be aware of. And so I often taste stuff that I wouldn't try on my own. It's funny because we take our two small children to the reviews with us a lot, you know, when we can. We don't take them to the fine restaurants, but the family restaurants we do. And my daughter has eaten more stuff by the age of five than I probably have eaten today. I mean, she goes out and she wants calamari. I didn't even know what calamari was until 3 years ago. And that's kind of funny. So now we do call them reviews. And although, I mean, as Jeff was describing what they, you know, the way they handle their restaurant articles down at the Journal Star, it doesn't sound too different from what we do up here. But we go one visit to the restaurant, one unannounced visit, and we make a point of trying very hard not to let them know who I am. As a matter of fact, I brought this to show you. This isn't going to make good radio, I'm sorry. But this is my book column picture. And it's me, which you can see if you look real close. But, of course, there's no beard, there are no glasses, and I'll never have that haircut again as long as I live. So, it's important to us to get in and out and not have them know who I am. We do it one unannounced visit. Some of your restaurant critics in your bigger cities with your bigger papers go two or three times. You know, we, quite frankly, don't have the budget for that. But on the other hand, most people going out for a night on the town don't go out to the same restaurant two or three times. They go once, they have their meal, and it's either a good meal or a bad meal. So, you know, when restaurateurs do call to take issue with something that I've written, you know, it's always very clear that this is based on one unannounced visit, and, you know, if your pizza is the best pizza in town every other day of the year, it wasn't the best pizza in town that day. And is that, I've always felt that was a fair way to do it. I mean, especially for I mean, they're still charging me, whether they're, you know, there's one of their waitresses called in sick, so the service is slower than usual, which, you know, I've heard. I mean, that I don't get a discount on my meal because of that, so I don't understand, you know, what the problem is. Anyway, that's a little bit of our style, and we do call back to the restaurant and ask the chef about certain dishes if we, you know, if I'm unfamiliar with the dish, or if they have, it seems that the restaurant has a, you know, a food attitude, something that they're trying to do with their menu. I might call back and ask them a little bit about that. The new tapas bar that opened in Benson, España, which I was just at a couple of weeks ago, you know, he really feels that he's bringing a Spanish cuisine, an authentic Spanish cuisine to the city that, you know, hasn't, you know, with dishes that haven't really been tried here before. And it's, you know, that's important to let people know that that's what he's doing. That's where I had the octopus, by the way. So, and one of the, I'm not sure exactly how the flyer read, but one of the questions, one of the statements on the flyer was something like, is it the best job in the world or something like that? It's not a bad job. You know, like any job, it does get to be a job after a while, sort of like the, you know, working in the candy store, old saw. You know, the nights out can begin to seem like work when you're, you know, keeping your pad under the table and, you know, trying to take notes without looking down. And you're turning over various pieces of meat with your fork to see if you recognize the herb on it. You know, what's this, Melinda? But, I mean, it beats digging ditches, that's for sure. And, you know, like most reviewers, I've gotten used to the fact that on your best day, there are going to be a lot of people who don't think you know what you're talking about. But it's fun work. And, you know, as a former police reporter, where you get into, you know, calling families, you know, recent victims of tragedy, I certainly prefer talking to chefs about Bernaise sauce and saffron. So those are my opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you. I have a question, first of all, off the top here. And you kind of addressed it. That was taking notes. You do it at the time, John. Is that correct?
Yeah, I take notes under the table, or sometimes I bring my tape recorder with me and, you know, take notes into the tape recorder. You know, depending.
Has this ever been a tip-off to the management that this guy is reviewing us?
They really don't seem to. They're not looking for reviewers. They don't. You know, the only time I've ever been caught out where people recognize me is because I also report on the beat. So occasionally, you know, I try to work on the phone as much as I can, but sometimes you like to go out and talk to people face-to-face, obviously, especially for your feature stories. You know, I've been caught, I can remember, three times, and each time it was because we walked into the restaurant and the person that I had talked to a month ago or 3 weeks ago was standing right there, and they're like, "Hi, John Keenan." You know, so, but other than that, yes, I try to keep the note-taking surreptitious. I don't want them to treat me any differently than they treat any other customer.
Yeah, I agree with John. I always say I'm incognito when I go in the restaurant. So many times we always follow up with a phone call after I've done my visit, and they're like, "Well, so when are you coming out?" And I said, "I've already been there," and they're like, "Well, what?" and they want to know. Well, we wanted to prepare for you, and that's exactly. I don't want to be treated any differently than, you know, the average Joe who's going out to spend, you know, anywhere from $20 to $40 on an entree. And I do mental note taking. So because I think it is a dead giveaway, because Lincoln's small enough where if you walk in with a pen and a paper, people are going to be going, what's he doing? And it's pretty obvious, especially in Lincoln, that reporters are stand out wherever they're at. So,
Jeff, you mentioned something about the influx of franchise restaurants in Lincoln. Do you review the franchisees?
Yeah, we do, and especially if it's a new one that hasn't been to town before. Ruby Tuesdays, when the first one came in, we did it, but then they've opened two since, and we have not gone back. Although they've called and asked us to come and visit their other restaurants, and I've added them to the list, and maybe we will go back and check them out. But yeah, when it's new and people want to, you know, want to try them, then yeah, because they're just as curious as we are about, you know, we never had a Chili's before, and we'd always heard great things about Chili's. And when I was a sports writer, I ate at Chili's on the road. So yeah, we will do it.
John, in Omaha, do you do franchises?
If we didn't do franchise restaurants, there'd be nothing to review in West Omaha. like Jeff said, we don't go to every new Famous Dave's that opens up. You know, we pretty much figure if you've been to Famous Dave's, that's their menu. That's the reason they're a franchise, is because the food is, you know, supposed to be the same from restaurant to restaurant. But so many franchise restaurants are coming in now, taking such a big part of the Omaha restaurant pie, that you'd have to review them. You can't ignore them.
How many visitations do you make a week to a restaurant? And is it for lunch or dinner, or ever do a breakfast?
Yeah, I do. And again, it's a budget thing. I will visit a restaurant once or twice. I like to do a dinner usually on a weekend night, because that's when people go out to eat, is usually on the weekends. And then I like to do a lunch during the week, because that's when, you know, people have their 12 to noon or 12:30 to 1:30, and do it over those time periods to see what the restaurant, because those are the busy times. So I want to do it when other people are eating. So those I try to do, you know, twice. Some places have the same lunch and dinner menu, so it's kind of pointless for me to go other than to see what the crowd is like. So that's the difference there.
John?
Yes, usually it's just one review. We usually go out to Saturday night, actually. But sometimes if I'm back and I'm writing, and say I've been to Chew's Chop Suey House, and I'm going over my notes and I realize that nobody had the chop suey, I'll go back for lunch, have the dish or maybe go back alone for a quick dinner and have the dish that is important to the restaurant that I didn't. That's really the exception, not the rule.
Here's a loaded question. What is the worst big-name restaurant in Omaha and in Lincoln?
Well, that's, gosh, that's a hard question to answer. It's really, I think Jeff is sitting here feeling the same way. I don't know that I want to go on the radio and
could you describe an experience that was really bad?
Most of the experiences that I've had that have been really bad have been service experiences, like you said. The worst review I ever gave a restaurant was it's this place out of town. The service was really bad. We had what was supposed to be their signature dish, and it was horrible. I wrote all this in the review. The servers were nice about the fact that the food wasn't coming, you know, and we were sitting there for 45 minutes. Around here, I guess I've never had a truly horrible restaurant experience. Everything has been mediocre or better.
Actually, John's right. Those are the exact words that I'd probably use too. It's very subjective, because you know what I like, somebody else might not like. You know, so it's very. I get the question all the time. You know, what is your favorite restaurant, you know, to go to? And I'm like, well, what do you want to eat? Do you like Mexican food? You know, I said I can give you a couple of Mexican places. You know, or do you want Italian? You know, I have a list of places that I like to go to, and most of the time for me it's convenience. You know, I live on the south side of town, so it's easier for me to get in and out, that kind of thing. So, yeah. And again, like John said, it's service issues usually been the worst experiences, where, you know, food, it came out not in a timely manner, and then when it did arrive, it was cold and you need to send it back, and, you know, those kind of things.
Because I don't have a speaking arrangement with French, I'm going to pass this over to you guys and let you have a go at it. It has to do with a fixed price, I think. Isn't that right,
prefix,
or whatever?
Well, that's how I pronounce it. I don't know if that's the correct way to pronounce it. Prefix in French restaurants. It's pretty much one price for a meal. And they give you all the courses, unless I'm...
Yeah,
and they give,
I agree.
They give you all the courses. So, you know, you'd go in and pay the fixed price, and they would give you, you know, your appetizer, your soup, your entree, your dessert. And in a lot of places, it's not always the same thing. It changes from day to day based on the chef's whim. So,
yeah, we only had one place that I recall in Lincoln that did that. It was the Cornhusker downtown. It was the Renaissance Room that is now closed, and they used to have a – and the menu changed daily, but you could – you know, it had a fixed price. You'd pay a set price, and then they brought you the salad and the appetizer and the entree and dessert and coffee afterwards. So.
Well, we just had a restaurant here in town go to a prefix menu, and I just did a brief on it, and I guess I should have put a clause in saying what it was, so sorry about that.
We're assuming that your employer pays for your meals out. You have an expense account. Is there a limit?
No, there isn't. So,
oh.
But actually, my editor is, she's a couple of times I've turned in these outrageous expense reports, and it happened. There was like 5 weeks in a month as opposed to 4 weeks, you know, and I explained to her, and she's like, oh, yeah. But you're going to spend a little bit more money at a pricey restaurant, and you're going to spend what people are normally going to spend. But I'm very careful about it because these are hard economic times on newspapers as well as it is for patrons who go to the restaurants. So if I'm doing a sandwich shop, I'll probably go by myself, you know, or take one other person as opposed to taking five people to a nice restaurant, or same thing at a nice restaurant, it'd be just me and a friend, that kind of thing. So you got to kind of balance it out.
Oh, so, you know, I have a budget, but it works about the same way, and it's fairly liberal budget. What'll happen is if I go to one of the very expensive steakhouses in town, I might follow the next week with a sports bar or a sandwich shop, just sort of naturally work out, you know. And I've gone over. I've never gotten in trouble for going over the budget, but there is a range that I have to stay within.
Are you ever comped? That is, do you ever get the meal for free if they recognize you or anything of that nature?
No, they try that. And it's not so much when I'm recognized. I'm sorry, Jeff. It's not so much being recognized at the restaurant. It's when you're out reviewing, when you're out on feature stories talking to restaurateurs. Restaurateurs like to feed people. That's why they're restaurateurs. And they're, you know, people are always trying to give me, free food. Oh, take it back to the office, whatever. We had a new pastry shop that opened up. They sent us a cake. Now, we can't eat the cake. So we sent the cake down to the Open Door Mission. Come to find out the next day that it was a rum cake. So yeah. So they just threw it out. But that type of stuff is happening, you know, as far as that goes.
Yeah, the same thing. It's ethically wrong for us to take comp meals. Restaurants try to give us food, but once we tell them that, because a lot of times they think we're paying for it out of our pocket, and I said, well, don't worry about it, the paper's paying for it, and they're like, oh, okay. So, you know, they don't mind charging the Journal Star. They do feel guilty charging me. So that kind of things. But there are some occasions where I have taken food because especially when I mentioned about the ethnic restaurants, it's offensive to them in their culture to turn down something they're giving to you. And so I have to be very careful on that. If I were to not take it, that would offend them. And so I do take it, and I bring it back to the newsroom, and of course, newspaper people are always hungry. So those are the rare instances where I will, you know, take it because of a culture thing.
John mentioned rum cake. Do either of you ever order wine and or other alcoholic beverage with your meal, and is this part of the review, the quality of the wine or whatever?
Does the Lincoln Journal Star pay for the wine? The World Herald doesn't pay for any alcohol.
Oh yeah, Journal Star does pay for our alcoholic beverages, and there are some instances. A new steakhouse has just opened up downtown, and they took over a place that used to be a brew pub, and they tinkered with the beer selections, and people are going there to try the beer, so we need to try the beer as well. And I had a lot of companions wanting to go on that one. So, and some restaurants, I mentioned the Black Crow and Beatrice. Woman there is the co-owner. She's very big on the wines, and she spent a lot of time and effort in developing an extensive wine list. So we will try the wines.
I will write about the wine lists, and if it's a place that has an extensive wine list, if wine seems to be part of the, you know, part of what the restaurant is trying to do, very important to the menu, then my wife and I will order. The World Herald doesn't reimburse for that, though, so I don't drink a lot while on the job.
This question, John, happens to be from your wife.
Uh-oh.
How much does your wife influence your reviews?
A lot. my wife is actually from a restaurant family, so she does influence my reviews a lot, especially in terms of service, how good the service is.
I've actually, on some of my companions, I've actually taken former people who've been in the business, which I find very helpful, whether they've worked in the kitchen or worked on the floor. So, and I've done that because, I don't know. I worked in the business myself. I waited tables for 3 or 4 years, and so I know that end of it, but I don't really understand a lot of what goes on in the kitchen, and it's a whole different world back there. And so sometimes I'll take people along with me and they can help me out. So,
what percent do you tip, and what do you recommend for those of us eating out to tip?
I tip a straight 20% because I got tired of all the nasty phone calls and letters I got when I tipped under 20%. So it's just a straight 20%. And
even if the service is not up to par?
I never know if the service is not up to par because the server is bad or because the kitchen is slow. I tip the straight 20%.
Jeff?
I just wrote a tipping story last week that was the cover story for Ground Zero, so it's interesting you should ask. I, too, tip 20%. If the service is slow, I will drop to 15%, but it's very rare. It's usually a straight 20%. As I said, I was in the business, so I know what it's like. Wait tables and you're depending on the kitchen to get the food so you can earn your money. So
what's going to be the next big thing in the local dining scene? Comments from either of you?
I think you're going to see more of, in fact, the review I'm doing this week is a restaurant that was a former sit-down restaurant changing their format. It's called Fast Casual. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that. It's an emerging industry in restaurants, and it's where the food is a little bit better in quality than the fast food, but it's kind of served in the same way, where you order it at a counter, get a little tabletop tent, and then go sit at your table and wait for it to come out. And it usually comes out in less than 10 minutes. A lot of fast casual places are, I want to say, pasta type places where that you can turn over the food quickly in the kitchen. So you'll see a variety of sauces where they create their own sauces and that kind of thing. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that, especially in busy hubs, downtowns, that kind of thing, where people only have an hour for lunch, but they don't want the greasy burger from a fast food chain.
I think that 20th Street corridor, all of the Mexican restaurants that are popping up there, small family-owned, authentic Mexican food, you're already seeing people starting to come from downtown down that corridor for, is it 20th or 24th Street? I'm sorry.
24th, I think.
24th perhaps. Street. You're already starting to see a lot of people coming from downtown to have lunch down there. And that neighborhood is really beginning to blossom. So I think that as the downtown workers discover that place, that may become a place where you'll find several very good, authentic Mexican restaurants, Latino restaurants. So some place to keep your eye on.
Topical question. Have you ever seen or touched a Red Robin?
You know, what's interesting about that is we don't have a Red Robin in Lincoln yet, but they are building one right now. And I kind of feel sorry for them because of all the press that they've gotten in Omaha because of the controversy. And I think it's going to affect them a little bit when they open.
So. We have a picture on our refrigerator with my daughter with the Red Robin, and she looks just like McPherson. It's the exact same facial expression.
Do either of you cook at home, and if so, what's your favorite dish or your best dish?
No. I very rarely cook at home. If left to my own devices, I would be eating pizza 5 nights a week. My best dish, though, if I'm trying to impress somebody, is veal parmesan off my grandmother's recipe. And that takes a little while because you have to make the sauce. Making the sauce takes the time.
Yes, I do. Not much because I'm on the go with what I do for a living. So I'm constantly somewhere in the city eating out, whether it's dining or something else. But I do like to cook. I like to make. I was telling one of the people out here that I like to make a lasagna. That's a favorite of mine. But a big thing is on weekends I like to make breakfast at home, and I love to create omelets, and I make a killer salmon, cream cheese, and avocado omelet. Mm. So. Mm.
That sounds intriguing. Café de Paris is supposedly the most expensive restaurant in Omaha. John, have you ever reviewed it?
No, I haven't been to Café de Paris. And there are a couple of really good restaurants in town I haven't gotten to yet, including M's Pub. I did have the owner of Café de Paris wish a heart attack on me one time because there had been a rumor that he was going to sell, and I called to ask him about that, and he got very upset. You find a lot of rumors in the restaurant business, and some of them are malicious. You know, people start talking that some place is going to close down, and that can hurt their business. But, you know, I was calling up to just check whether or not this was actually going to happen, and he got very offended, hoped that I had a heart attack, and hung up on me. So I haven't been there yet.
Jeff, you had mentioned that you would come to Omaha on occasion, and do you do then a review of the restaurant in which you dine?
Yeah, yes, I do. Occasionally I'll come up to see one of the Broadway productions that Omaha brings through, or the symphony, and then I'll try to kill two birds with one stone and do a restaurant review at the same time. And it's a hit and miss. And I know I did P.F. Chang's, the Chinese restaurant out in West Omaha, another chain, but it had gotten so much talk. People in Lincoln were driving up, so it's places like that I'll try to get to that people in Lincoln are curious about and are, you know, driving the 50 or 60 miles to get up here. So.
Is it worth the trip?
Like I said, Omaha is just, as John can say more, but it's just a wonderful town dining-wise compared to Lincoln. You have a lot of established restaurants that have been here forever that do very well. Some of the great steakhouses that Lincoln just doesn't have. But I think Lincoln is getting there and will get there someday. But yeah.
John, you mentioned octopus. What are the other most unusual dishes that you may have tried?
There's a place called the Daily Grill. It's right down the street from Brother Sebastian's, which is probably a restaurant a lot more people know about. And they have something called hot rock cooking, where they bring out this slab of, I don't know, black rock, and it's heated to like 500 degrees. And they have a bunch of exotic meats. Kangaroo was probably the weirdest thing. You know, I mean, just the idea of eating kangaroo, but that's on their menu. And they have a list of, like, you know, regular meats and then weird meats, although that's not what they call them. And the kangaroo was, you know, I tried it. It tasted like a, you know, kind of a mild, you know, beefy kind of meat, really. I mean, most of these exotic meats, I don't know. There's a reason not a lot of people are running around eating kangaroo.
So. Yeah, it was kangaroo, not octopus. I'm sorry.
Well, octopus. I had octopus at España with a vinegary sauce on it, and that was good. It mildly fishy. You know, not that much different from clam.
Texture wise, tough or not tough?
The octopus a little rubbery.
Rubbery.
You know, but that's fishiness, you know, that's what, and I don't know, you know, and I don't know too whether because it's octopus, the word rubbery just, you know, automatically suggests itself to me. A little chewy.
Any comments, Jeff?
We have two or three authentic Mexican restaurants that serve tripe and tongue and cow brains, and I haven't got up enough nerve to try the tripe or the cow brains, but I did try the tongue, and I actually liked it. It tastes a lot like steak. It's just the texture is far different. It's a little, you know, chewier, I guess, that kind of thing. But I go back now and often order the tongue tacos. That's what I call them, tongue tacos, or they have a sandwich that they make with it too, which it's pretty good. So.
This one is addressed to John Keenan. As I remember, you reviewed the restaurant at Lanoma Beach near Ashland. It was very negative. You took back most of your comments in a later review. What happened?
No, I don't think that's correct. Ah. I reviewed it, and then the owner called me to explain the problems, explain the service problems, tell me that, you know, he had a waitress out that day. And in my column, at that time we were doing a dining column, which we're not doing anymore, I allowed him to, you know, explain the problems. I quoted him, but that was not a review, and I did not take back any of my earlier statements. I just said, this is what he said, this is why he said the service was what it was.
So have either of you ever gone back and reviewed a restaurant a second time because you got it wrong the first time?
No, not getting it wrong the first time. I told John outside that I have gone back to places. Lincoln's, I figured it out the other day. I've eaten at every single restaurant in Lincoln, and there's a point where we got to start doing them over again because every week my editor's like, so what are we going to do this week? And I'm like, no new restaurant opening this week. I got to come up with a story, or we're going to have a blank page. So we'll start going back a second time. A lot of times restaurants will change chefs and create new menus. Restaurants will change owners and change menus. So then we will go back a second time to different places. But there has to be a reason for going back a second time if somebody might go, well, you just did that place 6 months ago. Well, they have a new menu and a new owner, and that's why we went back. So,
see, I haven't been back to a restaurant. I've been on the beat more than 3 years now. And, you know, restaurants have changed chefs, and there are reasons to go back. But restaurants open so much here. You know, I still haven't gotten M's Pub. There's this, you know, this new Sammy Sartino's restaurant that I'm thinking I should go and try that. And next week there'll be another new restaurant open. So sooner or later, and it's getting to be sooner, it's going to be time to go back around to some of these restaurants because the French Cafe has changed chefs twice since the last time I was there. But, you know, so many of these restaurants are opening up that it feels unfair to go back to some place I've already done when there's a new place that I haven't been to yet.
How do you decide which restaurant you're going to review and whether it be a chain or an independent? Do you have a set of criteria on deciding what you're going to do and how you're going to do it?
Yeah, the restaurants ask us that all the time because they would. And I actually tell them I have a list, and I do devise a. I'm thinking ahead about 3 or 4 weeks, but what I'm always looking for a new place, of course, because I want to let people know that there's this new restaurant in town, and here's where it's at, and here's who's running it, and that kind of thing. But there is no rhyme or reason how I decide which restaurant. I do try not to do 3. Asian restaurants in a row. I try to do a variety, try to mix it up a little bit, try not to do 3 sports bars in a row, something like that. I guess the main criteria is if it's a new restaurant, we'll do that first and then try to mix it up a little bit, do a sandwich shop 1 week, do a nice sit-down restaurant the next week, that kind of thing.
Yeah, restaurants, especially local restaurants here in Omaha, they do care about whether it's locally owned or a chain restaurant. I don't think customers do so much. So that does factor in a little bit, but I'm more concerned with, what area of town am I in? Like Jeff said, am I doing, 3 Asian places in a row? You don't want to do that. And mixing up the, very expensive middle of the road and dive places so that, you're getting a good mix there. The independent versus the chains is that's important to the local restaurant owners. I don't think it's necessarily as important to the readers.
This question probably is not germane, but I'll ask it anyhow. Are you because hopefully you're not known when you go to a restaurant? But it says, are you invited or asked to be invited to tour and survey the kitchen? Or to speak with the chef?
I'm not. And as I said before, sometimes if I'm completely at sea as to the dish, then I'll call back and talk to the chef about it after the visit.
Yeah, I've never toured a kitchen. I've been asked to several times because we'll always call the restaurant back after I visited to find out about who owns it and that kind of thing. And they'll be like, come on out and I'll show you the kitchen. And I'm like, no, that's all right. I don't need to see the kitchen, but yeah, I have been asked. So.
I saw Steve Villamonte of the Press Club here earlier. You probably could have a tour of the kitchen here at the conclusion if you'd like. Do you ever get calls from the restaurant owners or culinary staff after your column has been published, and are the calls negative, positive, a complaint, or what kind of feedback do you get?
I get, once in a while, I get a call from a restaurant owner. Generally, they'll ignore me if they don't like the review. I will get calls from customers of the restaurant. People in Omaha, I have been working in entertainment sections for over 15 years now, and that means that I've been writing opinion for over 15 years, movie reviews, theater reviews, concert reviews. I have never gotten the feedback I get on the restaurant beat in Omaha. People really care about the restaurants here in Omaha. I once got a phone call at my home as I was changing my son's diaper from a woman who initially sounded like my sister-in-law putting on an old lady voice. So I rolled with it for a good 3 minutes until I realized it was actually a very angry woman. And I was like, making fun of her because I thought she was my sister-in-law. And initially I got very, I was very angry and hung up, but then I*69 called back and apologized. She had kind of taken me by surprise. And we had a nice talk about my shortcomings. And then, she said goodbye.
I agree with John that Of all the stuff I do, the TV, radio, performing arts, dining is by far the most feedback I get from the readers, and it's primarily from the readers. I will get calls from the restaurants occasionally, but not very often. And it's interesting. I have one story. A woman opened bought an existing downtown restaurant, and she was she also had a floral shop downtown. And she told me, I find this very telling, that she'll do weddings, floral arrangements for weddings, which will run anywhere from $500 to $1,000, and she'll get no comment on it. But if somebody will go to her restaurant and is not happy with their $20 meal, they'll come right to her. And she found that very telling, you know, that your wedding is once in a lifetime thing, you know, but you go out to eat almost regularly. And she just realized how important, you know, a $20 entree is to patrons.
I'll ask this of both of you. How much do you know about the restaurant before you go in?
I do try to make an effort to learn a little bit about the restaurant, especially if it's a cuisine I'm not as familiar with. I'll go back and see if we've reviewed them before, if we've done any feature stories on them. Do I know who the chef is? Is he somebody who's worked in other places? Which you get a lot of here in town, chefs jumping from restaurant to restaurant. So I'll go in there knowing a little bit about it, certainly. I don't call ahead and ask questions or anything.
Yeah, I kind of like... a little bit different from that. I like to go in fresh and not know too much because I want to be just like our readers who don't know anything about the place. So with chain restaurants, you already know a little bit about them, but the mom-and-pop places, you go in and it's just it's the experience right there with the ambiance, the food, and that kind of thing, I think helps with the article a little bit.
And again, to either of you or both, do you make a practice of reading reviews in other newspapers? And if so, what reviewers do you especially like?
No, I don't. Except when I'm out of town, I'll pick up the out of town paper and read that through and look at reviews there. I tend to stay away, and this is probably a throwback from movie reviewing, where you tend to stay away from other people's reviews just because you don't want to end up writing what they've written unconsciously. So I do read a lot of books, you know, but I don't read a lot of reviews.
Same here. I don't want to be swayed by somebody else's opinion on a restaurant and their style. But I do. When I'm out of town, too, I will pick up the paper because I'm always looking for ideas of what we can do different with our dining sections and how to improve. So I'll look for that kind of thing.
I don't think we've covered either of these, so I'll pop them at you. Are reviews suggested ever by readers, or are they ever solicited by owners, chefs?
Actually, like I said before, I get so much feedback from readers, and readers will say, I read your restaurant. You ought to try this place here. And, often. I mean, every week I get emails, people suggesting places in and around Lincoln. So, and I love that. So, because these are people who are going out and they've found places that I haven't been to yet.
Yes, same here. And I do hear from owners of restaurants, too, where they'll call you up and say, you know, we're open, we're ready. And the thing is, they don't call when they open. They call about 3 months later when everything is good to go. So I get, yeah, we get both.
Okay, what have been your most outstanding experiences in doing your column? Overall pleasure, I suppose, would be the key here, a combination of food and service. And can you think of anything as truly outstanding?
Well, what I found since doing this for about 5 or 6 years now is that prior to this, as I said before, I was a sports writer, and it was just always on the go, and you were sometimes eating while you were standing. And I've really grown to enjoy the dining experience about going out, sitting down, and enjoying a meal and spending a couple of hours. And I really like those places. And I never realized, you know, I'm closing in on 40, and I never, you know, in my 20s, it was just like food was just to keep you going, that kind of thing. But the experience itself, especially when you go out with friends and stuff, it's very enjoyable. And I've really gained an appreciation of that since I've been doing that.
I think that I enjoy having a beat that so many people in town here care about, whether, you know, although a lot of the feedback I hear is, you know, you're an idiot feedback. I still get, occasionally I get positive feedback too, but you know, positive or negative, as I said before, I'm hearing more from people than I've ever before in my life. It's a beat that people are concerned with, not just the reviews, but the restaurant feature stories as well. For some reason here in Omaha, restaurants are very important, and it's pleasant to be the person who is providing information for the World Herald, for the World Herald's readers.
Final question, it's loaded. How does your newspaper's management policy affect your reviews, if at all?
Not at all.
Same, not at all. That was
completely
easy.
Free, that's great. Well, our sincere thanks to Jeff Korbelick of the Lincoln Journal-Star, to John Keenan of the Omaha World Herald for their enlightening and mouthwatering comments. Thank you, guys. And our thanks to Bob Cote and KIOS for the delayed broadcast of today's forum. And thank you, audience members here at the Omaha Press Club. We are now adjourned.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's topic was restaurants, cafes, pubs. The speakers were restaurant reviewers John Keenan of the Omaha World Herald and Jeff Korbelick of the Lincoln Journal-Star. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, September 18, 2003, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Dale Munson for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. The next forum will be Thursday, October 16th at 12 noon. The topic will be the United States Patriot Act. The guests will be U.S. Attorney Michael G. Hevekan and Tim Butts, Executive Director of the Nebraska ACLU. If you'd like to attend this or other future forums, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.